Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, a longtime entertainment reporter. And you are braving the cold right now in Iowa, right? It is...
You want to stay in.
Yes.
So I am. And as a result, I'm watching all of the... you get links to a lot of these movies,
yep.
You know, all the ones, because they want to be on your top 10 list. And I've been participating in a lot of, what do I want to call them? Panels, if you will, to kind of narrow voting in a number of year-end competitions. So in order to be able to vote, you have to admit that you've seen the things. And it's like I just come home at night. It's jackpot. It really is. It's like you come home, you look at something, you say, well, that was really good. How come we didn't see this in February? You know, they lump way too many really, really good films at the end of the year. And then you are just crushing it to try and watch them. So I've been looking at, I've had a run of foreign films. I've had a run of comedies, big Christmas Day films. Be ready for Christmas Day because a lot of huge things are opening. Song Sung Blue, the thing about the Neil Diamond interpreter opens then, but also Marty Supreme opens then. And that's Timothy Chalamet's kind of 1950s pseudo true. I don't know how you describe it. It's about a guy who plays ping pong and he wants to play in international competitions. And so he does whatever he can to get money to be able to go on those, you know, on those trips. And it's a lot of scamming. He's just a scam artist. You kind of think there's a little Forrest Gump to him. You think there's a little, it's aspirational.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. It reminds me of something they might have made in the 70s. It has a very periody look to it. And Timothy Chalamet is wonderful. But so I've been looking at that. I had, if I had legs, I'd kick you with Rose Byrne. She's huge. She'll be a big thing. Merrily We Roll Along, which was a screen capture of the Broadway show. Your Rental Family, which is in theaters right now, you'll be able to see that. But there's a lot of really good films that we're saving for the end of the year. And I got to talk to Joachim Trier.
Okay.
He's a Scandinavian director. And he has one of the huge, huge films that you're going to see listed now in a lot of end of the year best acting, best directing, best writing, best supporting acting competitions. It's called Sentimental Value, and it's about a director who wants to kind of tell his story, but he wants his daughter to be in the film with him, and she doesn't have the same kind of attachment that maybe he wants. Fascinating. But I got a chance to interview him, and can we run it? Do you mind?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
You'll get to hear what one of the top directors has to say about making one of these end of the year really awards bait kind of films. How much is the director in this film like you?
Quite different, I think. I actually started writing him from the perspective of the daughters, the sisters. And then he was kind of an antagonist. And then slowly, through understanding that I wanted to Stellan Skarsgård to do it, to create some emotional and character depth. And the more we explored the character, the more I also found it interesting to try to identify with him. Not because I'm necessarily the same generation or type of director, but because, you know, isn't it interesting with people who are clumsy in their social life but still make great art? You know, I find that kind of a saving grace with him.
Sure.
He's actually really wants to make good movies, and that I could kind of cling on to and then slowly connect with the character as well, even though he was quite different.
Okay, then working with Renata, what is that connection? And what is it, a shorthand you have with each other because you know what you want, she understands that, or what is that?
That's a good question. It's trust more than anything. It's the fact that we worked and been out rainy days and shot film for three films now. So we kind of know. I think I know how to help her be her best. And she is incredible. And I'm lucky to work with her. So it's that dynamic. So we wrote this for her. She was one of the motivations for doing the story, I must say.
So when she says, I don't like this part or whatever, do you change it then?
But it's not like that. It's like I explain to her what we want to do and she kind of embraces it. And I think I write it for, I know what she could do well and she finds that fun. So we haven't encountered those situations. It's not so intellectual. It's more like, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
The house. What is that house like to film in? Is it just impossible or?
It's perfect.
I mean, is that?
I saw 100 houses to find it. It's really a find, this house.
And then when you're running the cameras through it, is it, you know, where are you in the process? Are you even near the camera or what is that?
Yeah, I shoot on 35. Usually I'm very close to the camera, very close to my DP, Casper Tuxen. If I can, I sit next to the camera with a handheld monitor and then other people are in the back with the big monitor. I don't sit back there. I'm with the actors and the DP.
Okay.
So, yeah.
The thing that surprised, and I love your films, so please don't read into this or anything, but there's so much layering to your films that I wish more directors would do something like that. Why have we dumbed down films today so that the average Joe is not lost in it or, you know, gets exactly what you're trying to say? But your films don't do that. And why don't more directors play that same role?
Well, first of all, I see that as a big compliment. Thank you. I have no clue how other people work, but what I can say is that I have great respect for the audience's capacity to interpret and empathize and fill in the voids. And I really try to say enough, but not too much, because I think that emotions needs to be earned and audiences need to connect in their own way. And if they don't, that's also okay. But I at least give them an opportunity to put the pieces together a bit themselves. So, I don't know. I also observe sometimes that there are a lot of films that are very clear, but I don't think it's a new thing. I think there's always people who are very explicit about their stuff.
There are fewer films like yours that give us credit for thinking. And, you know, and it's like so spelled out. You look at the top films that are making money and you go, come on, this is so simple. What's going on here? And so I appreciate that you give us the ability to be intelligent when we're looking at a film. I appreciate
it. Thank you. But don't you find, I mean, it's again about having some faith in people. I go to the movies and feel challenged. And, you know, I think there are good films out there. And I also talk to a lot of people now about movies traveling around. And people are smart and people are cine illiterate. People know films. I mean, to be a slightly academic for a second, there's, you know, you talk about connotation and denotation. Like denotation of just understanding what's happening on a superficial level has become so quick. But the problem then is, how do we get people into deeper senses of connotation, this sense of feeling deeper thoughts? And cinema is exactly a place, as opposed to our cell phones, where we, if we're lucky, we can get them for a couple of hours in a dark room with no cell phones, if we're lucky, and they can really feel images in a much deeper sense than all the shit that gets thrown at us with 15 seconds limits. So cinema is at a very exciting place to take that responsibility right now.
And you're not afraid to hold on a face, which I really love. I love the idea that we can look at somebody's face and kind of catch what they're transmitting. So I love that. Okay, so now you're in that process where what's next? How do you decide what you're going to do next?
I haven't decided yet. It's about sitting in a room with Eskil again, my co-writer. We've written many short films and now six features together that I've directed. And we start from scratch. I was saying to someone recently that in that writing room, there's a big bookshelf of film literature, Cahiers de Cinema, Sight and Sound, old film books about the studio system. And there's a couch. And I think between lying on the couch and thinking about life and that kind of shelf of film history and what we admire, we try to find something that we want to talk about.
Do you ever get too close to your own self when you're writing? You think, I don't want to expose this. I don't want that part of my life to kind of be out there, even though people may not make the connection.
Yeah, that's a great question. No. And the reason I don't have that problem is that I know intuitively that we create enough distance to the characters so I don't feel I'm throwing someone, a family member, under the bus or something. It's very personal, but I create a form that's far enough removed so that I feel I can really treat the character both with love and ruthlessness, just as we need, you know? So, but it's a great question to ask, and also for young filmmakers who see my films and think, because there's a verisimilitude of biography to them sometimes, which I get, but there is, it's not as straightforward as one thinks. And that creates this kind of protection of creativity that I need to actually film myself into it again, you know, as going back to our first question, there needs to be that distance for me to feel that I can actually handle it personally. It's a paradox.
Hey, thank you so much. And put Renata in another film. I think it would work.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Bruce, for that interview. It sounds like a real fascinating movie. Definitely the one, you know, and I think you mentioned this in their interview too. This is the type of film that's going to make you think. Like, they're not just going to lay it out in front of you and give you all the answers. You kind of have to interpret it a little bit, read between the lines a little bit. It's a bit of a thinker, a thoughtful one, and it's done pretty well so far with the critics, because it won, was it the Grand Prix at Cannes earlier this year?
Right. It's already won a number of prizes. There's another film that's kind of giving a run for the money for best international film. Mm-hmm. But I think you'll see it. You'll see this is one that you want. If you consider yourself a movie person, you'll want to see it. Because it does a little more than just entertain. And you got to read subtitles.
Right.
It's not all in English. Some of it's in English, some of it's not. And you kind of wonder, how do they choose which is English and which is not?
Right. But it has quite a few actors who you've known. This isn't just some little artsy film that came out of nowhere. You have Stellan Skarsgård in this movie. I mean, he is so good in whatever he's in.
Stellan Skarsgård, he has this kind of huge dynasty with his children,
right.
Bill and Alexander. And what's interesting is they could all be in the running for awards this year because of the films they've made. But it would be fun to see that whole family show up and you go, I didn't realize that they're all in the same business, and it's kind of the family business, and there they are.
Yeah. But Elle Fanning's in this movie too, correct?
Right. And she's another one that they talk about for best supporting actress. Mm-hmm. To me, she plays a vapid American actress really well. Now, I don't know if that strikes people as, she's playing so-and-so. I mean, because I could put a name to it in a minute, and you go, that kind of seems who she's playing. But it shows that, you know, maybe American movies aren't all that well thought out.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating. You'll love it. You'll love it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. There's another film, too, that's kind of coming out, too, and you had mentioned it earlier, but it's that one about Neil Diamond, the song Sung Blue.
Songs about the interpreter, not in person.
Right, exactly, right. But it's sort of based on a true story, and it takes place in Milwaukee, and I live not too far from Milwaukee, so there's a bit of a local connection there. But did you know Hugh Jackman was actually in Wisconsin recently? He was serving up frozen custard at Cops, which is one of the well-known custard shops in the Milwaukee area.
Well, and they do have a scene set at the Wisconsin State Fair. Mm-hmm. So there's a tie. And of course there's the accent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the accent, that is it Minnesota? Is it Fargo? Is it what are they trying to do?
Right.
But they do have that kind of lilt to it that we've seen in other films. But yeah, and I love this concept. The idea that it's a film not about somebody, because we've had way too many who have, you know, the Elvis film,
right.
the the Bohemian Rhapsody, but this is one where it's somebody pretending to be that person. So they don't really need to hit it right on. It's a good way of paying tribute to somebody's music without having to do their life story.
Right. Right. And it seems like the type of movie that's fun for the holiday season. Like, it, you know, like I'm, you know, a date night with your husband or wife and leave the kids at home and let's go see a movie for mom and dad.
This is very much that would be put in the same category as Green Book.
Right.
If you liked Green Book, where it's like, you know, they're going to tell you a story about people who were around, but it's not really their story, but we're going to try and get you there. Yep. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll have a good time. That's what this film is.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, a lot coming out in the near future.
You've been hanging at home and watching TV. What have you seen?
Oh, I'm with the rest of, I don't know, the world right now, living in the upside down.
And is it coming to a good conclusion or a bad conclusion?
Well, with the series for this fifth and final season, they're very strategic in how they're dropping episodes. You know, we know Netflix likes to give you all 6 or 8 or 10 episodes in one serving, but they are strategically spreading things out. You know, so the first 4 episodes of the final season dropped on the day before Thanksgiving. So the family, we got together, we watched the first episode on that Wednesday, second episode on Thanksgiving, third episode on Black Friday, and the fourth and final episode on Saturday. And this is a lot going on here. This is good. Now, I've seen some a little complaining here and there, but you know how it is. The complainers are always going to complain. I like it. The kids like it. We're having some fun with this one.
It's a bonding exercise.
It is.
You, right?
Now, there's been, I don't want to say that there's, it's been a little predictable at times. I don't want to give anything away, but you know, there's like a scene where, you know, there's this little girl, it's the younger sister of Mike, and she's kind of in this alternate world of sorts, and you know, somebody seems to be spying on her or leaving notes, and I turned to my family and I said, I know who it is, and I said the name of who it is, and then it turns out to be that person. So like, you know, you can kind of guess at some of these things and sort of, but you know, when you get to the final episode of this early batch, it goes off the rails in the last, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And the last scene, like it ends on a cliffhanger until we get to the next batch. And the next set of episodes will drop on, I think, either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And then the finale is going to drop on New Year's Eve, including limited release in theaters for the final episode. So,
oh wow,
yeah.
Would you go?
It's sold out. I can't get tickets. It's
you might.
I mean, I'm gonna look. I'll keep looking and see if maybe extra showings get added. But it's only gonna be in theaters on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and it's not gonna be in every theater. So the AMC that's, you know, like practically within walking distance of my house, as of right now, isn't even gonna have it. And the ones, the other two AMCs that are, you know, relatively close, one is, you know, it's, I guess it's technically not sold out because there are seats available, but it's like, you know, one seat here in the middle, another seat here somewhere else. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, for all intent. And then, you know, I looked at a different theater and all the recliners were sold out. But if I want to sit in the first row and get a stiff neck.
No.
So, I mean, I think right now we're going to end up having to watch this at home, which is fine. But it just would have been fun for the experience to go see this show that we've, as a family, gotten invested in a lot in the last few weeks. I mean, again, my wife and I, we talked about this in a previous episode. My wife and I watched the series basically every season as it came out. But my daughters, who are 14 now, they had never seen it. We've gotten them into it. They're hooked. I mean, they are hooked. And we have not been able to, you know, we get that episode going and it's like, wow, we are just like locked in for an hour here.
Look at how they've dragged this thing out for too many years, if you ask me. And those kids are old now. Oh, yeah. Will they all get work, do you think? Or are we going to be going at Comic-Con shows where we'll see them signing autographs and that's where
that's
they are?
That's a good question. So, you know, like Millie Bobby Brown has gotten work because she did those Enola Holmes films.
And she looks different.
And she looks different. And she's getting, you know, she's grown up now. And I think she's going to move from, you know, the kid kind of look. Now she's a mature adult. And I think she can take her career in a lot of different directions, kind of like, you know, an Elle Fanning or Dakota Fanning, who both of them kind of got started as child actors and then, you know, moved into more mainstream stuff. So certainly for her, I think she can do whatever she wants. And she's, you know, she's got the power couple thing too, married to John Bon Jovi's kid. But, you know, Finn Wolfhard, I don't know what with him. He's a musician. He's released albums, you know. So like, is he going to keep acting or is he going to focus in on music? But the rest of them, like, I don't know, you know, some of them, you've got a lot of big name actors in it still too, who you'll keep seeing here and there, but some of these kids, this might be it. We might not see them again.
Yeah. They were very much in the beginning, goofy looking.
Yep.
If you will, they were like the kids in Goonies or whatever, where you'd go, okay, they are like kids. And then they get to that transitional age where you go, well, now they don't want to look goofy anymore.
Right.
So we've got to work hair and makeup, and it changes a thing. And suddenly it's weird how some of the oddest stars or oddest young child actors become different stars. Look at Jerry O'Connell from Stand By Me, where he's now, you see him everywhere and he's on all those daytime shows and stuff. And that kid has no chance of getting a career.
Right.
You see Patty Duke's son, who was in the Lord of the Rings, Mr. Frodo.
Sean Astin,
Who's now the president of the Actors Guild.
Right.
So, you know, who knows what happens to these kids?
Yeah.
Okay, well, are you predicting that they will wrap it up? Or, like, will this be a dream that somebody has and that's how they end it?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how this is going to end. So if you, not to read too much into the names of episodes and things like that, but the final episode of the series, I believe it's called The Downside Up, right? So I'm pretty sure the first episode in episode one, season one, was called The Upside Down.
Yeah.
And the last episode is called The Downside Up. And it has me wondering what's going to happen, right? Is it going to come to, is the conclusion, like, there's going to be some sort of conflict, some sort of battle, some sort of something. And the whole stitches of time are going to get reversed. And then the next thing you know it, these kids are just going to be, you know, like back in
like they
the
were
basement playing
playing
like Dungeons and Dragons 10 years ago. So I don't know, it's interesting.
And they may have filmed some of those scenes in those early years and then they just attach us on the end and it's like, okay, that's how they did that,
right?
You know, because if they're old people and then they go back and then it's I think there's a whole new series you could have.
It's
trying to figure it all out, but
right.
Well, that's fascinating. And are you watching any of the holiday things? Are you getting into any of the holiday movies and specials or not?
We have not really, not yet. I mean, I did have A Christmas Story on briefly a week ago. You know, I imagine we'll watch a few classics here and there, but really, you know, with school going on, I've got one daughter playing high school basketball. Another one is getting now back into club volleyball. We've got homework. We've got band performances. We have pep band performances. It's just, we're all over the place. Like I'm lucky to just have a night in just to watch TV, which is a rarity right now.
How are you guys going to avoid going to Stranger Things on Broadway when you're in New York?
I don't know. You know, I'm,
That I would figure out a way. Start thinking now. Plot that, because I think you want to see that show. And the special effects, they say, are incredible.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe we can.
So you're not getting more. And they say it hues very closely to the thing. So you're getting a little more than you thought.
Okay. All right.
It's all that, you know, that value added stuff.
Yeah.
But no, I've been watching occasionally a Christmas special here of people, and you go, wow, either they shot these things really early, or what's up with this?
Right.
Why would they be doing this? And I think this Christmas season has gone way too quickly.
Yeah.
It's everything is just, is it February already? Or am I getting the February candy in the stores? I don't know. Have you seen the Grinch Happy Meals?
Yeah, we were just talking about these last night because they are expensive. They're what, 15, 16 bucks?
Oh, they're that much? I didn't think they were that much.
Yeah, because it's, you know, you're getting, it's I guess you call it an adult Happy Meal, right? Because it's either the 10-piece McNuggets or the Big Mac, but it comes with a pair of socks. You get
the socks. That's what I'm, you know, it's, I can't eat anything that has breading.
Oh.
So do I get it because I want the socks, or what do I do?
Yeah. So it's, we were talking about it, and then I guess the other piece of it is you get that, that packet of like pickle flavored
Lynch fries.
Yeah. To shake on your fries. So, I may, you know, like my wife is like, we can't get those at $16. And I'm thinking to myself, like, well, I'm just going to get it. Yeah. I'm a grown man. I could do it.
I'm with your wife. Yeah. I'm with your wife. If I'd known it'd be that much, I wouldn't even consider it.
Right.
It isn't even on the table, but you know, cause I sat there and I thought, should I get this? I see this and it's now you could get it where before they say it's sold out and you won't get them.
Right.
And I always feel like, oh, I can't miss out. But when you say the price, it's not that worth that much for a pair of socks.
And that's kind of where I'm at. I think ultimately I will just get cheap and use my, you know, in-app coupon to get my $7 Big Mac meal and call it a day. Cause I do not need those socks. You know, I just.
Yeah. But if they're available,
you know, it'd be kind of fun to get them, right?
maybe it'll be in your stocking. You just never know.
There you go.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. What else? Is there anything else of note coming up on your schedule?
Well, I'm running through a lot of new shows and new movies. Saturday, I'm talking to the cast of The Pit.
Okay.
The Pit is back for a second season.
Nice.
And I have four of the episodes. I haven't watched them, but I'll have to watch them before Saturday to make sure I know what I'm talking about before we dive into it. But I'm excited for that. But again, this is like having a really good gift. And you think, I could have used this gift in maybe March.
Yeah.
Why am I not getting that then?
Right.
Instead of having all so much at the end of the year where I can't fully appreciate it. And I had a friend who does the same kind of work as I do. And he said, why are we not getting these screeners in the early part of the year when we could use them, you know, spread it out a little bit. And that's what bothers me. But yeah, so I've got a lot of those kind of interviews stacked up like wood. I just did the Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the second season.
Sure.
And that sucker, it took how many years to get a second season out of them?
Yeah.
But they're all geared up now for a third season that will probably not take as long. They were fun to talk to, but boy, have those kids aged.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, are you 40 yet? Because it seems like you look like you're 40, but you're supposed to be like, what, 12, 13?
Right.
So that's interesting. And, you know, there are other ones like that are they've taken too long to get out of the gate.
Yeah.
And I've got those lined up. So there's a lot here. And then, of course, we'll be getting, once we start seeing more of these names of the kind of the front runners for the Oscars.
Yeah.
One battle after another has already won. I believe it was the National Board of Review and the New York Film Critics as the best picture. So you can see that one is going to be a big thing. But this Rose Byrne one, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, was kind of a dark horse. They did not talk about that in any other place. And she's won in several places as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to see some of those those sneakers kind of shoot up to the top, and then you're going to start hearing about them, and they're going to be made available for interviews. Okay. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, a lot going on. You know, if go out and get your Grinch socks if you want to indulge yourself.
Yeah. And I say I got something from one of the studios that you're getting.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
It's tied in with Springsteen, the movie.
Okay.
The movie. And I can't tell you what it is. You've got to see it. But I will send it to you. I just need to get to the, if it warms up a little bit and I can get to the post office, I will send it to you.
All right. But
meanwhile, it's too cold and I'm staying in and I'm not going to worry about it.
But sounds good.
I opened it. I said, this has Terry all over it. And you'll love it. You kids will have lots of fun at home with it. And it's not anything I need. So,
perfect. I can't wait to see it. So, all right. Well, on that note, we will be back again next week. Thank you again for listening. And we'll be here again with another episode of Streamed and Screened.